It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on November 23rd in the morning with a little announcement. As much as we would like to do a live show next week, the nice people who turn our voices into actual radio programming would like some time off. So we're going to have a rerun of this show next week. It'll only be in 10 years, I think it's only the seventh show or so that we haven't been here live, and those were due to holidays and weather-related incidents and that sort of thing. But I want you to know today, if you're listening to us on the 23rd, it is a live show, and you may call in, and in fact, we would invite you to do so.
But if it is the 30th,
yeah, you
just
can
know
call all you want, but you're going to waste your time.
Not going to get through. Yeah.
But do listen to the show next week, and you know it's going to... You never listen intently for all of the hour. You'll always pick up something. But I wanted to put that out, and I'll put it out again at the end of the hour, just so everybody remembers. I don't want anybody being disappointed. And that's kind of a lead into, I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be careful out there. The weather is, from what I've heard so far, improving every day toward Thursday, and it could be one of those absolute classic days, which for Adam's sake I hope is true because he's having a bunch of people over, including us, and it's always fun to be able to wander in and out without thinking about it, you know, jackets or anything like that. So really looking forward to it. Anyway, here we are, and here we go. So to all the regulars, thanks very much for always being here. You know we depend on you as we wrap up our ninth year over the next couple months and flow into a 10th year on the 1st of February. Who knew? Who could possibly have guessed? No, it just doesn't seem possible. But it's not only possible, it's true. And we thank all of you for sticking with us. And if you're new to the show, just found out about it or happened on it by accident, please try to, again, listen to the hour. You can make this show habit-forming, but if you miss it, just go to our website, Van Wee Financial, and we have all the replays of the shows in there in our podcast section. We have a blog that's updated constantly and lots of good information here and there. So you can also set an appointment if you want to come and see us for free for an hour. All you got to do is ask, and you can set it up right on the Internet at the website. So with all that, I'm going to introduce the week on a happy note and turn it over to Adam. That was fun.
That was a good week. Really nice bounce back from a pretty terrible week last week. There were times during the week where it didn't look like it would be a good week. The futures were down fairly often in the mornings.
And fairly large.
Yeah, and kind of big. And the market was even down, especially in the mornings on a few days. But the steady buying during the day kind of bailed us out. And it just seemed like there was a lot more bullish interest as the day went on several of the days. So that was good news. The S&P ended up 1.5%, the NASDAQ up 1.7%, and the Dow was up a full 2%. So really nice week. One other trend we've been following is the small cap Russell 2000 ETF, which trades under the ticker IWM. The last time this ETF was at an all-time high was way back in 2021. That's quite a while ago, considering it's almost 25. It only just recently traded near that same all-time high. That's a pretty big break to take during a bull market from between two all-time highs.
Yeah, especially considering we closed out yesterday with a new all-time high on the Dow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that's
been strong.
If we see that small cap ETF hit a new all-time high, that could be a very, very good sign for the market. But be careful. It hasn't gotten there yet.
That's true.
If it gets there and turns back, that's not a good sign. So we'll see. We're going to be watching that one closely. But also, as usual, over the past few years, I've talked about this so many times, there's reasons to be optimistic about the next year, and then there's reasons to be pessimistic about the next year. In the optimism column, you have an economy that seems to have avoided a recession that everyone more or less thought was imminent a few years ago, and the Fed seems to have pulled off the soft landing that no one thought was possible. You now have a new pro-business, anti-big government regulations, anti basically, you have a government that's going to be clearing the way for businesses to succeed, and that starts in January. Yeah. It may have started already, sort of.
Deregulating in every sector.
You also have the market with a lot of momentum and potentially more Fed rate cuts coming. And they, you know what they say, don't fight the Fed. And yep. And yeah.
He won't listen anyway.
No, definitely not. So that's all good news. But on the pessimistic side, you have a market that's trading near all-time highs with valuations that are pretty lofty if you look at price-to-earnings ratios. You have semiconductors, which are considered a bellwether for the economy, underperforming the broader market. Not a great sign. You have a healthcare sector that's in a free fall almost. It's a really major downtrend. And rarely does the overall market not do well, or do well when healthcare is not performing well.
And I have a trivia question based on that sector.
So it's been really bad.
Right in. Yeah. It has been horrible.
You've got interest rates that are climbing again despite rate cuts. You've got the dollar climbing, and luckily the third part of that three-legged stool is oil, and that has hovered in the $70 range for a while, and that's the only good news there. If it does climb though, that would not be, I don't think that'd be a very good sign for the market. It's been so confusing ever since COVID. You could just sit here and I could make a very good argument for why the economy and the market are doing well. And I could make an equally good argument about why the economy and the market are doing poorly.
We could have
the market's doing well. I can't make that argument, but it could go down.
Yeah, we could have a debate right on the show where each of us took one side and we flipped a coin and said, okay, you're this side.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You're that side, or the other way around, because we both have arguments that are very valid on either side, which leaves you a big question mark.
Yep, definitely. And so it's what's going to happen next? We don't know. We really do not know. But I do. The one thing I feel certain about is that the government will no longer stand in the way of businesses and them making money and trying to grow and hire more people and grow the economy.
The other thing I'm very, very complacent with and happy about is that with that election result, it's almost a certainty that the tax rates will not expire at the end of next year.
Yes, and we're very happy about that. And you should be too, regardless of who you voted for, because it affects your wallet in a positive way.
Yep. Uncertainty is never good for you. And that eliminates, there's still some uncertainty. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. But we do know one thing, whatever happens, we're not going back to the old tax rates where 95% of Americans get a sudden overnight tax increase. Therefore, businesses that are doing their planning are not afraid to actually make some investments.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no threat of a corporate tax rate hike as well.
So. No, it's a really, really good scenario to go into a new year. We'd like it. All right, lots more to come right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banway.
And I'm Adam Fanway.
And I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. The trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. The U.S. market, according to Adam last week, if you all were paying attention, and I'm sure a lot of you were, has been outpacing the rest of the world's markets, and it's true. It's been a very good place to have your money for the past quite a while, actually. But let's ask, how good was it? Well, if you go back to that long ago year, 2017,
that's
Trump's inauguration.
Oh, okay.
That's why they picked that one. Yeah, U.S. market was 30% of all the market value around the world, 30%. What is that percentage today? And as always, we do have a point.
Yep.
And I'm not going to give you any hints.
Well, it's ironic.
Oh, you did give one hint. I said it's better than it used to be.
Yeah. It's ironic you brought that as the trivia question because mm-hmm. I was just about to talk about there's a pretty clear trend right now where the U.S. is outperforming the rest of the world. Europe is stuck in political uncertainty. There's several elections that are are upcoming and they don't know what's going to happen. And they've got a never-ending war that just keeps dragging on. There's another war in the Middle East. China can't get out of their own way. Mexico and Brazil elected anti-business socialists as their presidents. It's really no wonder that every international ETF is trading below its 50-day moving average and in oversold territory, except for China. And that is only due to a massive government stimulus package.
Kind of reminds me of American cities. They vote for the liberal wackos all the time. And then when they get in, they do what liberal wackos do, and nobody likes them anymore.
That is a trend, I think.
That is a trend, absolutely.
The results of the U.S. election are also making this even more apparent, because this one thing I feel very certain about is that this president will put America first and have policies that put America first. And so, as it turns out, other markets are reacting negatively to that. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and when you look at the cabinet level, you see that it's like a who's who in American business and some in politics and so on. Good morning, Phil. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Stephen and Adam Van Wee, financial extraordinaires of the universe. We're so blessed to have you on the air, and y'all deserve a after Thanksgiving off. Two quick things. I'm going to say I went to recently two big pension trust board meetings, which I attend and just listen and sit in the audience, and then sometimes they ask me my little advice. And I'm going to say, okay, 30, way back when, I'm going to come in at 23.5 percentage-wise. I was going to say 30, but I said, you know what, I don't think we're at the 30 yet, but if I do win something, please pass it on. But I think I may be too low.
You are too low. You're absolutely.
Can I leave you with a melody?
Of course.
I don't know. Did I hear your brother say okay?
He's very dubious. Okay. I gotta tell you, I wish you could see the look on his face.
Okay, that's a good thing. Well, you tell him, even though I can't see, he's blushed as well. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving and many, many more. Happy Thanksgiving, Stephen. Happy Thanksgiving, Adam. And holding the ranks behind the scenes, happy Thanksgiving, Roger. Now, you know, I don't sing for a living. Nobody would buy my records, and they throw me out of the opera house on my derriere. Have a great day and a good Thanksgiving. God bless you.
Thank you
for all the good you do.
Always appreciate your call. You take care of yourself. All right. Well, what are you? You got to wrap up some more market things, I think, right?
Yeah, just a couple of little things. I had earnings season unofficially ended this week with a really nice report from Walmart that sent that stock to an all-time high. Apparently, all of Target's customers are now shopping at Walmart because Target had an absolutely dismal quarter, and they were also very negative about the future, whereas Walmart was kind of the opposite. And one thing that they really noticed is that the thing that they think is driving their sales is convenience and making the shopping experience as convenient as possible for the consumer. So things like ordering online and then just sitting in your car and bringing their order out to you, that is really driving their sales and revenue growth. So that was kind of interesting. It makes a lot of sense. The easier it is to do business with someone, the more business you want to do with them. 65% of companies beat their earnings targets this past quarter, while 61% beat on revenue. Not numbers that are going to set the world on fire, but really not bad at all. Next week will be a shortened week with the market closed on Thursday in honor of Thanksgiving and a half day on Friday. So historically, Monday of this week is not the best, but the rest of the week tends to get a little bit better. So don't dismay if Monday's down.
Yeah, and if we get through this next week, the shortened week, and all we did was break even, it would be a run for the record book for the month of November.
Definitely.
I've really been strong.
Hope that's the case. And then we'd be headed into a Santa Claus rally to close the year. I would not complain about that scenario.
And one of the funny things, as you look back over the last few months, is we had a couple of those downturns early in, August and September. October, mm-hmm. where the first 5 to 10 days of the month look like, it's over, this isn't good. And then all of a sudden, just flipped around and shot straight up again, and we keep getting new records in the market. And it's really fun to watch. I hope it's all justified, but, you know, time will tell. I have saved the predictions of the gurus that came out early this year or late last year. Here's what to expect for this year. And I'm going to do them, but I'm not going to do them until January because I want to have the actual numbers in so I can laugh at either or of the predictions, or perhaps both. You never know. But they're so far apart, at least one of them is going to look very, very foolish. That we'll give you. All right, so again, lines are open, 904-222-8255. I got all kinds of just little things today, rather than having an overriding theme. But a couple of things I did want to mention. For those of you with RIAs and 401ks, and if you have attained age 73 by the end of this year, it is required minimum distribution time. And that is not something you want to mess with. Even though the penalties have been reduced, they're still huge. So don't miss it. Also know that every custodian out there is going to be very busy from the day after Thanksgiving through the end of the year. Don't get in a position where you have to have something done and there's no time for them to do it.
Definitely not. And if you are a client who's listening to the show and you have not taken yours, I will be contacting you in the next 2 weeks.
Yes. Do not be at all surprised when this happens. So if you hit it, now, one thing I need to remind everybody, if you turn 73 this year, anytime this year, you have to take an RMD, but you don't necessarily have to take it this year. Your actual required date is April 1st next year. But know for a fact that if you do that, if you put it off and take an RMD in the first 3 months of next year, you also have to take one at the end of the year. And it is kind of punishing for a lot of people because it doubles up the income. So maybe if you turn 73 and retired and made a lot of money in the first part of this year, that's worth pursuing. And if anybody wants to discuss it, they can call on the show and give us the parameters, or they can get hold of us at the office, also 904-685-1505. So just remember, it is RMD time, and do not miss it. Also, for the charitably minded, whatever it is, people out there who have the IRAs, traditional IRAs, you can make a charitable contribution, a qualified charitable contribution to a registered charity that does not count to you as income. And in these days of most people not itemizing their deductions, this means it's a totally tax-free transaction up to, I think it's $100,000 maximum, or the amount of your RMD. Another thing, you cannot do Roth conversions unless you have taken all of your RMDs from all of your IRAs that require them. So just a reminder that if you decide, well, it's such a good time to look at a Roth conversion, and you do, and you put one in, and if you have not taken your RMD, then you're going to get a note back from your custodian saying, no, this was rejected because you have not taken your RMDs, and you've got to get on it. Just a few little housekeeping things for year end. So again, don't forget, you don't have much time. I know this week hardly anybody's going to be thinking about these things. So if you listen to the show as a rerun next week, it'll be even more timely next week that you start doing these things. Pretty simple stuff, right? All right. I have a real comforting announcement, I'm sure, for everybody out there. The cost of your Thanksgiving dinner went down this year. According to the American Farm Bureau, your Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost 5% less this year.
Hmm.
And I don't know on what they base that, but I could believe it because things were kind of cranked up last year. There's probably some items that have actually come down.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. So finally, it's about time.
I absolutely agree. That's what a lot of people have been waiting for. And one more thing. If you feel like partying a little bit, someday in the next few weeks, I suggest you go out and get a new brew with your friends. You know what new brew is?
Do not.
Hmm. It's a brand new Pilsner beer brewed from toilet water.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, they're really big on this at the climate thing.
Okay.
I could come in here and make up stuff. It wouldn't be nearly as funny as just finding the truth. So I do that instead. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia questions still there. In 2017, the percentage of the world's markets that was U.S. with 30%, I'm going to give you the next solid hint. It's more than that now, but that's just a hint. I want to know how much it is, and you got to be within about a half a percent. So it's not that you have to be pinpoint, but you got to be darn accurate, and we do have a point. And once again, if you're listening today, and it is the 23rd of November, we are here live, so you can go ahead and call. And if you're listening to us and it's the 30th of November, it's because there is no live show next week, so we are rerunning this one so everybody knows. So if you get confused by that and you call and don't get an answer, then the answer is in listening to the show, and that's the way it is. I might say it one more time before we close out the show in case anybody's a late tuner-inner, as they say. All right, so if you don't want to have a toilet water beer, stay out of Singapore. The company's name is Brewer KZ. They're trying to call attention to their water reclamation work over there. And I'll tell you, if there's one way I don't want my attention drawn to a water reclamation project, be a can of new beer. Sure. Really, people? And just when you think that you've seen it all, you've found the dumbest things in the world. No, you haven't. I found a new one.
Okay. What you got?
This one deserves the title, Even Dumber Than California.
Okay.
Intrigued? All right. And this part will not surprise anyone. The target of this discussion is Massachusetts. So of all the places in the country that you could imagine could possibly be dumber than California, that one would be on the list, although I wouldn't necessarily pick it first. But you've been following the ride-sharing thing with us for months and months and months, where they're trying to get rid of all of the gig employees, the 1099ers, you know, the people who like to work their own hours and do their own thing, particularly helpful for companies like Uber, where people can go pick up a couple hours' work and make a little extra money, so badly needed after this round of inflation. But there's always some do-gooders, and I fear that one of them is the announced labor secretary, and that's going nowhere unless she changes her tune, but I digress. All right, what happened in Massachusetts? They approved a ballot measure. It's always a ballot measure. It's like Florida. You know, you put it on the ballot, and unless you have at least a 60% limit on it, people are just going to vote yes. They have absolutely no clue what they're talking about. So this would provide transportation network drivers the option to form unions to collectively bargain with transportation network companies. What does that mean? It means if you're a 1099 part-time Uber driver, other people will be able to vote you a union. And if you get voted into a union and you don't want to be there, tough luck. It's Massachusetts.
You have to quit.
So 50% of the drivers could vote a union for 100% of the drivers. It gets worse. I am not making this up. The 100% of ride-sharing drivers in Massachusetts could be forced into exclusive union representation without a single vote being cast, and with a mere 12.5% of ride-sharing drivers authorizing a particular union to represent them. Authorization is required by 25% of active drivers who are defined as the top 50% of drivers. Thus, authorization can come from 12.5% of all drivers.
Wow.
Just to authorize a union to represent them, and 100% of the drivers would be there, and most of them would quit. The law also provides a pathway whereby a driver organization can petition the Employment Relations Board to hold an election among drivers if, ready for this one, a mere 2.5% of drivers, that's 5% of active ones, have authorized it. So why would this matter? You could have a tiny little subset of disgruntled employees, and they could be forced into an untenable situation. Who does it hurt? Well, obviously, it hurts the 1099 gig worker who's picking up a few bucks on the side, doing it the American way. But what if you're someone who's at the airport and wants to call an Uber, and there's no one to respond? They don't think of that when they're voting for this, do they? No. It is so egregious what these people are trying to do to ambitious American workers. It just makes me want to throw things. You know, the do-gooders say, well, they would get full benefits and they'd get unions and so on.
What if they don't want that?
They don't know what's good for them, man.
Oh, okay.
You see, it's very simple to these people. And let's see, the average Uber driver works over 16 hours a week with fully flexible hours. Most of them say they would only work 2.9 hours if they had to commit to a weekly schedule, and wouldn't work at all if they had to commit to a monthly schedule.
Yeah, because that's the whole, the best part about Uber is you just decide when you want to go to work.
You put your sign in the window and you go to work?
Mm-hmm. You turn on the app and you're good to go.
They send you right there.
Mm-hmm.
It is beyond my comprehension as a free market type person that people do not understand this. Now, on the bright side, even in California, when Uber literally threatened to walk off the job and out of the state, they rescinded it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if push comes to shove in Massachusetts and the Uber drivers all get together and say, we're going to walk off the job and we're leaving the state and you will have no Uber and Lyft will be right behind us and on and on and on. When they're really threatened face to face with the results of their own stupidity, I believe they'll back off.
Probably.
Now, why does this keep happening? Why do things happen in the city? It's because there are big concentrations of liberal voters who do not understand the consequences of putting these crazy mayors in who are now protecting criminals. So when Tom Homan wants to go take all the hardcore criminals off the streets of the city, they say no, they want to protect them. They'd rather protect the hardcore criminals than the people who live in the city and pay the taxes. I'll never understand it.
So I have a question for you.
Absolutely.
What salary do you consider define someone as being financially successful?
Well, if I were a mother, which I'm not, I'm married to one, and you have one, and it's the same person, that number before she would brag to the dentist about her successful kid is $600,000 a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But the person on the street, probably closer to 100, and people who actually understand what things cost, I know it's above a quarter of a million.
Well, according to a new study by Empower, it's actually the average is $270,000. So you were very close on that. Mm-hmm. But it varies widely by generation. So if you're a boomer, it's just under $100,000, $99,900 actually. If you're in Gen X like me, it's $212,000. If you're a millennial, it's $181,000. But if you're in Gen Z, it's actually just under the number that you just said. It's $587,000.
It begs some questions.
Yeah, there's a pretty wide gap there generationally. But I think that Gen Z just grew up in a time where inflation is running rampant. And so if you're running the numbers at 9% inflation, it might be $600,000. So I can understand that answer.
Whereas the older people, the baby boomers, probably have, on average, a better net worth.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not having to accumulate at the same rate as the younger people.
Yep.
So they, let's face it, my generation, when I was growing up and through all of the formative years, if you were making $100,000 in my generation, you were really successful.
Yeah. I remember when I was very young, that was the benchmark for being successful was 100. If you make six figures, you're on Easy Street.
Yeah. When Sarah and I got married in 1972, I got a job, my first real job, as they say, out of college, even though I still didn't have my degree, but I got a job and they paid me $625 a month in benefits. And we weren't getting rich, but we made do. We paid our rent and had a car and all that. And we just longed for the day when we could be on Easy Street. All we had to do was get it to $1,000 a month, and we'd be on Easy Street. So then she got a job, and we jumped over that. And it was about then we started to realize that it's not really getting us anywhere either, because by the time you both pay taxes and you both pay expenses on cars and that sort of thing, you're really not improving your lot that much. So we bumped it up to $2,000 and then $2,500, and the rest is history. So in the early 80s, when we first got started in manufacturing, we used to have this discussion with a couple of our manufacturers' reps, and it was always funny because at that point, how much is enough to quit was the big discussion. $100,000, $150,000, then it went up to $250,000, and then when people started getting to be $250,000 in net worth and it became $500,000, it's always one giant step beyond whatever it is you have, mm-hmm. that you're really on Easy Street. So I'm not surprised, and in fact, although I'm of two minds on this a little bit, I'm happy to see that recognition of the younger people that in order to make your way as an individual of any lifestyle in the economy of now in the near future, you're going to have to earn some money, and you better figure out how. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily by going to a fancy college and getting in debt, but we all know that. It's becoming clearer every day. All right, one more break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we will waste no time getting to Good Morning Marshall.
Gentlemen, how y'all this morning?
Excellent. And you?
Very good. Very good.
Good.
Let me throw you out a trivia guess of 44%.
44%. That's a wonderful guess. It's too low.
Okay.
Yep.
Question for y'all.
Yes.
Not that I believe anybody that I see on the net without qualification, but since it was so different than what I've heard from so many different people, I thought I would ask y'all.
Okay.
What would have to happen for us to go from, let's just say, today we're at a 7% mortgage to a 10% mortgage?
Hmm.
It's funny. Nobody ever asks it that way.
No.
Marshall.
No.
Hmm. Tighter.
This person was talking about 10 to 13% mortgages, mm-hmm. within the next 4 years.
Well, certainly a resurgence of very pesky and rising inflation, because the Fed has autopilot when it comes to things like that. So their response to a rising inflation rate is to raise rates. Now, that's not always going to directly impact the mortgage market, as you know, but it does have an influence on the overall interest rate curve, for one thing. And then the other thing, of course, is that means people do not really want treasuries. And selling off the treasuries raises the interest rate on them, which affects the mortgage market. And why would people not want treasuries? Well, it could be that I jumped the gun a little bit 2 weeks ago when I called our debt $36 trillion, but it happened this week.
Yeah, it did happen. Yeah,
so we have a debt of $36 trillion. Well, we all thought that 18 was too much. We all thought that 12 was too much. We all thought 10 was too much. 36 is too much. What's going to happen? Either that decelerates, and we can look for Ramaswamy and Musk to hopefully help that, but they're going to be fighting a headwind called Washington, D.C. So if we can stop spending money at the pace we are and grow the economy, fine. But if If the economy gets stuck on inflation and no growth, then you're going to have to see rising rates because that's what the Federal Reserve does. That's their response. So I could see any number of things that would push inflation back, including, in some cases, wars. But my opinion, what Trump is going to do right out of the hopper on the 20th of January, he's going to restart the pipeline. He's going to restart the leasing and drill, 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 frack, 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 all that stuff. I still think the basis of all the inflation that we've had in recent times is the cost of energy. And if he does what he says he's going to do, that should help. Who's doing the predicting on those high rates, Marshall?
This was a classic example of a banker that was thinking way over his knowledge level.
Okay. Okay. Peter Principle.
I learned as a young mortgage originator how easy it was to predict something to our realtors and builders that we talk with. And I learned shortly thereafter, if I knew enough to be able to speculate like that, I would be a very successful person in your world. are we right? No. All of us loan officers out there making the comments, we're just listening to people we think are credible. And I think to me it was a little surprise that we had this jump in the 10-year after we had started coming back down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was.
And so it's like, all right, what are our other possibilities out there? And I think you've shared perfect with it. So that's why I called as Phil says, the gurus.
Well,
and I appreciate the thoughts.
There could be any number of things that go wrong. There could also be a lot of things that go right starting in January.
Yeah, sure.
If you look at the attitude of people that you meet, and people that come into the office, people on the street, some people in the media, and even places like college campuses, there is a level of excitement about opportunity that was not there for the past few years. And people are actually admitting now that they're looking forward to this. I find it very refreshing. It can't come soon enough, and I sure hope it's successful.
Yeah.
Well, I loved the comments about let's relook at the accreditation system mm-hmm. and the people that are doing that, because they seem to be the catalyst that's making all these numbers go up.
Yes.
I'm talking with a young man at the fraternity house last week, and he's talking about how much it's going to cost him to get a medical degree.
Ooh.
And I just thought, what kind of debt he's going to come out. And all those different pieces. And there's a shortage of medical professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it needs to be fixed.
Yes,
well,
it
thank
does.
You again, guys. Appreciate your
Marshall,
help.
Happy Thanksgiving call, Marshall. To you and yours. Always good to hear from you. And
y'all as well.
Keep in touch.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah, that's a toughie. You don't want to think about those things, especially those of us in my age group who've already lived through a period of mortgage rates like that. We do not want to see it come back. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How's everything?
First and foremost, happy holidays to you guys.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Thank you. Quick shot at the trivia.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with just a little percentage, 50.1%.
You are amazing, Kreskin. It's actually 50.5, which made the range 50 to 51, and you nailed it.
Well, it'll be a less somber holiday then. Thank you very much.
Exactly. You know, the point of the thing, I always try to have
it's
a point.
It's amazing how they've increased.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And it is the first time in history that our market has been at or above half of the entire world's value. Yeah,
that is insane.
It is insane,
amazing.
Isn't it?
That is insane,
yeah.
Yes.
That's why I brought it up. All right, okay. Always fun. We've got your address. No fears. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
Take care. Yeah, what do you think about it? That's over 40% more our part of it. And that's just astounding. It doesn't speak well for a lot of other places.
Nope, but it also explains what I was talking about earlier yep. with the U.S. outperformance, and I don't really see that changing
no, I don't
in
either.
The near future.
Not that I don't want to have a a piece of international in our portfolio.
Yeah, no, definitely an important part of every portfolio, but it is interesting.
Hey, folks, if you're in target date funds out there, that can be retirement date funds or target dates or whatever, do yourself a favor during the week when you've got some free time. Go in there and look what your breakdown of assets is. If you got 30 or 35% in international, you got to ask yourself why, and isn't there some way to do it better? As we have analyzed a number of these things, and they have obscenely high amounts of foreign stocks in them. And as you see, that's not been the place to have that much. We like 8 to 12 on a good year, but 20, 25, 30, 35, and we've seen them all. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Just a little quick tip from the Saturday morning guru here.
Well, a lot of money managers would disagree with you on
yes,
that.
Yes, I know that.
But I
stand my ground.
I am not one of them.
Right. That's why I can stand it even when you're in the room.
Yeah.
Works nicely. All right. Dumb thing again. What would happen if your employer decided they were going to serve you a free lunch and have it brought in from Chick-fil-A?
I'd be pretty excited.
You and me? Probably most people. Not so much in Minnesota.
Okay. What does that mean?
Y'all know Minnesota. Essential Health in Duluth wrote a groveling apology to its staff last Tuesday after a number of, quote, concerned and offended employees complained about a free Chick-fil-A lunch, which was made available to them at St. Mary's Medical Center's atrium earlier that day. Because
did someone force it down their throats?
Apparently. Because Chick-fil-A forces its value system down your throat.
Okay.
I can't make it up. I told you, and I mean it. I can't make it up.
I mean, I do get mad at them occasionally just because I want Chick-fil-A on Sunday.
I don't get mad for that reason. I want it whenever I want it. And the line's always around the block.
Yeah, but they go quick.
I know. They move. They're the gurus of move it. Yeah. I don't even know how their place is big enough to put all that stuff in it so they can get it out the door.
I'm pretty sure that Elon and Vivek are going to hire the Chick-fil-A designer.
It worked for the last time he did it. Again, I want to say if you're listening to us and it is the 23rd of November, we are live, have been live. But if you're listening on the 30th, and it sounds live, this is the third time I brought it up, so hopefully everybody will hear it. We are doing a replay of this show next week, and the station's getting a little time off for its people. And so we're going to kick back and do the same thing. So I wanted to announce it in advance so nobody's surprised. As you know, we are always here. It's been our trademark for 10 years, basically, and we're going to keep that going. All right, got a couple of seconds left here. How about a piece of good news? Speaking of young people wanting a lot of money, new college grads are looking at an increase in expected hiring for next year of 7.3% nationwide.
Nice.
Yeah. That you can put in the bank if they'll pay you enough and if you're smart enough to accept what they're going to pay you. But if you're going to hold out for $270,000.
No, that generation, it was $580,000.
Well, $580,000. If you're going to hold out for that on day one, I would make a suggestion, but I'm far too nice, and I am on the radio. So I'll just let you figure it out yourself. Thank you, everyone, for, again, listening to us all day long. We hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll be right here 2 weeks from today with all kinds of, hopefully, more good news in the market. This could be another good one coming up. Keep your fingers crossed. All right, until then, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And this is the Ben Weaver.